This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And we are back with another episode of the Brother and Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin, here along with my sister and co-pilot, Mary. Mare Bear, how are you?
I'm doing well, Kev, even though it sucks and it's snowing in Scranton.
Yeah, it's cold. It's bone-chillingly cold.
Yeah, we had a nice long week of fall, and we're barreling right into winter.
Can't wait. Can't wait for Christmas and all the Christmas songs.
I love Christmas, but, like, at least wait until, like, the late
after
November.
Veterans Day.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, this is way too early in the year to have our first snow.
Yeah, but anybody who lives in the Northeast knows November through April pretty much are just a shit show.
I know. I had to wear a winter jacket, a hat, and gloves today. That fucking sucked.
You work from home.
I know. I was supposed to take the dog out.
Yeah, Achilles is not in the studio this week.
No. Nope.
Thankfully. But anyway, we are here today. We're covering The Office. This week we're doing season 3, episodes 21 and 22.
Yo, we're coming right up to the end here.
That's right. One more week. You guys will get the end of season 3 and our epilogue of the season. But before we jump into this week's episode, Mayor Bear, would you let me know and the listeners know what we covered last week?
Absolutely. Last week we covered episode 20, Product Recall, where a hilarious watermark was sold or was put onto 500 reams of sold paper.
Yes.
We found out that Dunmore High School sent its prom invitations out on it, and it just caused mass mayhem. We saw Creed Survivor skills go into action where he literally found somebody to blame, and it all worked out for him anyway.
Yep.
It was a character duck, a cartoon duck.
And a mouse.
Performing unspeakable acts.
Ducky style.
Oh, my God. And that's basically what happened. I mean, we figured out that Creed will literally put a woman with children
We saw that in the second season, the Halloween episode, when he cut throats to get Devin fired rather than himself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's not above that, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And also Michael yelled at a client, had a press conference with the obit guy from the Times Tribune.
Yeah.
Or the Scranton Times.
Scranton Times. The Tribune was the more, or yeah, the afternoon paper.
Yeah. It's no longer.
I delivered that, yo.
So did I.
Yeah.
Back
back when we were chitlin.
Yes. And then also we found out that Andy had a girlfriend who happened to go to high school at Dunmore.
That was, you know, okay, can we take a few minutes? Because last week I wanted to talk more about that.
Absolutely.
And because the episode was so long and my thought was derailed and I didn't get to talk about Andy.
Okay.
What the fuck was that storyline about?
I don't know.
It seemed like it was just filler.
I feel like anything I have is just going to be such a stretch.
Yeah, because it's... Remember we talked about Michael's camcorder thing?
Yeah.
How it just didn't fit? This girlfriend, Andy dating a high schooler thing just did not work.
I mean...
It was weird because there was no buildup. Like in the previous episodes that Andy was there, there was no talk of him like, oh, I got a girlfriend now, I'm turning a new page or anything like that. Well, I guess... this was the second episode back.
This was the second episode back. He did come back in the previous episode. Let me get that.
There was no mention of a girl. There was no mention
of
girlfriend.
Safety training.
Yeah. But, like, it was just so weird. And then it was just over and...
Yeah.
After watching these two episodes today, I think they just dropped... It's like a dropped angle.
Yeah.
Like, it was just... 5 minutes of
I think it just
time.
It fit and when I say that I don't mean it actually fit, but
it
I think the writers
nothing.
Were like, hey, Andy's gonna be at the high school anyway, why not make him throw a fucking tantrum because he's a child but he's still trying to work through his anger management. How do we do that?
That was a weird stressor to use, though.
Well, and that's what I mean. Like, I'm stretching to get to that point.
I probably should have docked that episode even more points just because, like, that was weird.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a few, like, Jim made maybe one laugh line about it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it wasn't really...
That's not going to hold up in court.
Yeah, otherwise, it was just like, why is this here? Why is this existing, you know?
Yeah, and that actually was... I don't know if I read it on the air last week, but that was one of my deductions, was I actually wanted more from it to kind of flesh it out
I don't think
more.
We talked about that. We talked about Andy, but, like, not that, like,
not that
stuff.
Aspect of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that was just weird. Yeah. But anyway, those are those two episodes.
Yeah.
So, this week, we're doing 21 of season 3, and that is Women's Appreciation, and you're going to cover that one?
I am, dude. Sorry, we also did safety training.
Oh,
I
did you not talk?
Yeah, I went straight to episode 20.
I didn't even notice.
My bad, guys. My bad. Safety training was really nothing to write home about. Andy came back.
Michael almost commits suicide by accident.
Yeah, Daryl did a safety training because Michael caused him to hurt himself in the warehouse. He explicitly told Michael not to touch anything. I mean...
It was blah.
It was funny. It had, like, funny lines in it and funny parts where Michael, like, got seriously depressed.
It wasn't, like, a coherent episode, though.
No.
That's the thing. And, like I said, with the Andy thing, nothing was advanced. No new ground was explored. It was just kind of... I feel like the second one was a lot more funny,
yeah,
the one with the watermark, like, this one was just, like, a placeholder. We need to fill in one more week of TV. Let's throw this one in there. Like, that's how it felt. But anyway,
I feel bad because it is like that him up on the roof saying Dwight, you ignorant slut. It's such like an iconic thing, it's also an SNL skit, as you explained.
That's what we get from Michael is like him trying to repurpose people's material for his own. I mean, that's just like a staple of the character.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean it's that great.
Yeah.
But anyway,
we don't want to waste too much time on our recap. There,
women's appreciation.
We're going right in. All right, so we have a cold open, and Jim walks in, he says hi to Pam, and Dwight gives him, like, this yellow slip, and Jim asks him what's up, and he said he's getting a demerit because of his tardiness. So then Jim starts asking, like, okay, well, as your boss, like, what's this process? So, he gets one demerit for every time he's late. If he gets 3 demerits, it's 1 citation. 5 citations equals 1 violation. 4 violations equals 1 verbal warning. A verbal warning will go into a written warning if the practice continues. And then after 2 written warnings, you get a disciplinary review written by Dwight Schrute put on the desk of his immediate supervisor, which is Jim.
Yeah. And Jim calls him on it.
Yeah. And then he threatens him with a disadulation, which Dwight is like, what is that?
And Jim like, channels his inner Clint Eastwood, you don't want to know.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But I actually enjoyed this cold open.
It was good because it used Dwight's pride against, like, him being a fake cop.
Exactly. Yeah.
It wasn't, like, mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Like, because Dwight was the one who initiated it,
exactly.
Not Jim. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then, we open up with the show proper, and what do we get?
We get Phyllis walking in looking stunned, and it's almost like she's in a haze.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sad, and she goes, I was just flashed in the parking lot. Dwight immediately jumps over a desk and runs outside.
Because he hurdles.
Jim's like, all right, I'm going to call the real police. And he finds out that they've already had 3 reports of this guy flashing women.
Yeah, it's a thing going on.
That morning. And I mean, I'm assuming it's before 9 a.m.
Yeah, everybody's
so
going to work.
So this guy is up and early.
He's up with
morning.
He's up with, like, the school buses.
He's up and at them. Getting
up
and at them, getting there early.
And stretching.
What is that saying? The early bird gets the worm?
The cock crows. Yes. Were you going for a dick joke there?
Maybe that's what I was going for. Okay. It was the Michael Scott version of getting there the long, very tough way.
That's what she said. Ew. Yeah.
So anyway, they show Dwight out in the parking lot, and he's, like,
searching. Yeah, just looking around.
But he's, like, hunched over, and he's looking from side to side. And for anybody who says, like, hey, Mary was going in and out there, yeah, I was literally looking side to side and hunched over, reenacting.
Acting it out, yes.
So anyway,
Michael shows up.
Well, Phyllis explains,
That's right.
He asked me for directions, and when I went over, he was holding a map, and when I went over, it was on the map. And, of course, Angela blaming the victim here.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a married woman, Phyllis.
Yeah, like she was looking for
it. Yeah, like she was like, hey, pull your dick out and put it on that map. And then Creed walks up and he goes, I don't understand what the big issue is. The guy was just hanging brain. What?
Awesome.
Okay. Female here. No, and my brothers don't.
I'm explaining.
Okay. No. My brothers don't typically talk about that
genitalia
in front of their sisters.
No, we don't talk about that with. I don't talk about that with anybody.
Have you ever heard this term?
I have heard the term.
Brain?
Yeah, I have heard the term.
I've never heard that term.
I've heard the term, and there's also. Have you ever seen the movie Waiting?
Yes.
Okay, do you remember when Luis Guzman, he's this cook?
Yeah.
And he's talking about how if you grab the balls a certain way and you pull them tight, it looks like a brain.
Oh my God.
I'm not saying that's what the guy was doing. I'm just thinking of genitals and brain, and that was on my
mind. Yeah, see, that, but that movie, I just always thought of The Goat.
The Goat.
Is that what it's called?
What?
Like, that's what they keep on trying to get him to see. Like, they've been...
Oh, yeah, in the Batwing. They have, like, all the different...
Yeah, they have the different names and terms for it. But, anyway...
Yeah.
So then, of course, Michael comes in. Oh, also, Creed says, listen, if that's flashing, lock me up. So then Michael walks in, and he's like, what's the matter? Everybody, like, and Pam explains, like, you know, Phyllis got flashed, man. It's not cool.
Bob Vance took her for a walk, too.
Yeah, to calm her down. And at first, Michael's like, oh, my God, is she okay? Like, what is, oh, my God. And then he starts to chuckle. And he starts to chuckle harder. And he goes, did he even see Pam? Or Karen from behind?
Yeah.
Wow, slap in the face to Karen.
Well, no, it's a compliment, because she... What?
No, the
Does
way...
Does she have any fries with that shake?
The way he said it, though, or Karen from behind.
And Kevin,
like, he pauses.
Yeah. And then Kevin's behind her, and he just goes, I guess not.
But it's like, okay, so if he saw Karen from the front, would he still...
Hang brain?
Yeah, hang brain. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But anyway, so everybody's, like, kind of disgusted.
Yeah, they tell Michael it's demeaning.
As he's continuing to laugh. Yeah. And then Michael does my favorite physical comedy act of him so far. He turns around with his...
Trench coat
on, unzips his pants and sticks his index finger through his pants, turns around, and he just goes, bleh!
like his dick is hanging out. And he goes, bleh, 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 bleh! He just like this... He makes noises like the Tasmanian devil and thinks like that his index finger is a boner.
Yes.
And he's doing all this shit.
So then Toby walks in, of course, and Michael still has his finger in his zipper for this whole conversation. He explains.
Well, when Toby walks in, he goes, woo!
Yeah,
and it goes droopy.
So Michael explains about Toby, about Phyllis. And Toby's like, listen, Michael, like, it's inappropriate. You can't do that. And then, of course, Michael tries to turn around on Toby. And he's like, oh, yeah? Where were you while all of this was happening? Toby explains, you know, I was at a parent-teacher conference. And Michael yells, prove it! Show us your penis! And he immediately goes, all right. I knew as soon as I said it, it was wrong.
I took it too far.
Yeah, like, he immediately knows.
Which you usually don't get that sense of awareness
from
Michael. No,
like, but literally, as soon as the sentence ends, he's like, all right, I know it was too far. I'm sorry. Everybody's disgusted. But Kevin is in the background laughing.
Oh, yeah, Kevin's, like, totally loving
he's
it.
He's loving it. So then Michael is in a talking head and he explains, you know, women can't have fun if they don't feel safe. Then he kind of goes off on his own little tangent and he's like, you know, me and Jan have a safe word, foliage, which we don't have in Scranton anymore because it's fucking winter.
Okay. I thought you were talking about a restaurant named Foliage.
No, like, the Chinese restaurant in Carbondale is still there.
Yeah, Carbondale, everybody, remember.
Ayo.
That's a throwback.
That's where Ryan...
Went for pudding packs.
Pudding packs, yeah, the chocolate pudding.
Yeah.
Got this from a gas station in Carbondale. So anyway, and then we find out that Jan pretends that she doesn't
hear him
sometimes.
The safe word.
And then Jan calls him.
Yeah.
And she basically says, like, I miss your body. Not I miss you, I miss your body. Come down tonight. And Michael's like, I'm spending a lot of money on gas and tolls. And so she
That's a real thing, by the way.
Oh, 1,000%.
Anybody who has, like, a longer distance relationship or anything like that, that's a real thing.
I'm spending a lot of money on gas and tolls. Tolls are motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They really are, especially the New York.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's two states worth of tolls, plus the bridge.
Fucking New Jersey, man.
Yeah, they suck.
Don't even get me... Oh, we love you listeners from
New Jersey. We love the listeners from New Jersey.
We just hate your state.
Dirty.
I didn't go there.
I do like Atlantic City, though.
Do you?
Yeah. And Brigantine.
Like, I mean, that's more than I can say, because I don't have a favorite part of Jersey. It's just all the same to me.
We used to go to a lot of concerts there.
Went to a ton of concerts. Okay, this was the worst. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. No,
tangent alert. Yeah, tangent alert.
Because we used to go down to Camden, New Jersey, over the river from Philadelphia.
Yeah,
all the time. Saw a bunch of shows there. And the one time, me and a bunch of friends went to see Iron Maiden down there.
Yes.
And oh my God, what a fucking show that was. It was incredible. We got after it so hard. And then we're coming out and they gave us, like, the cop sent us the wrong way. Yeah. And we got lost in Camden and, like, it was kind of like Vacation. Roll the windows up. Like, what is that? Like, cause, like, I saw guns brandished.
Oh my God.
We saw, like, a fight. It was like a knife fight from Beat It, the Beat It video.
Oh
like,
my God.
Well, it was like crazy. And, but I mean, we ended up almost in Dover, Delaware.
Jesus.
Like, we drove into Delaware somehow. I don't fucking know. It was just a mess.
This was pre-GPS on every cell
phone. This was, like, 2007.
So
like,
it was about this time.
Yeah, we were, like, we printed up, like, MapQuest directions.
Jesus Christ.
It's pretty fucking hilarious.
That's how the old-timers used to do it.
But, yeah, New Jersey, thank you for that memory. That's a wonderful memory.
So anyway, heading back in, Jan offers to pay him $200, and he's like, I don't really feel good about that. She goes, fine, $300. Just let Hunter know if you're coming. Hunter, you're on the line, right? So Jan has an assistant named Hunter.
And he's in on the call.
And he's on all of her calls taking notes, apparently.
And she treats Michael like a dirty...
A prostitute. Yeah, a dirty whore. So then we see Dwight is still out in the parking lot this whole time, searching the bushes.
Callback here,
with,
by the way.
With a broomstick that's carved into a stake from when Jim turned into a vampire.
I like that bit there. That was nice.
Yeah, me too. I like that. And he's looking for the flasher. And this quote from him, better 1,000 innocent men are locked up than one guilty man roam free.
I can imagine several people I know in real life saying that.
This is America.
Well, that's very much the criminal justice system.
Exactly.
Unfortunately. But, like, the way Dwight delivers it, because he is, you know, that fake cop, you know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's justice.
Yeah. So then we go back, and Dwight is now inside with Michael, and they're trying to solve the crime of the flashing. And Dwight has a folder of dicks. I mean, there's no other way for me to say it. He has a folder of pictures of dicks.
It's a file of pictures of penises. And I don't know where he got these.
Nope. And then Michael goes...
Like, there's a database of Scranton penises.
Right. But then Michael goes, Dwight, are those your pants? Why is this a Polaroid? Is that a Polaroid of your penis? And Dwight just takes crumples it up. So then it's like, wait, does Dwight want Phyllis to look at his penis?
It's so weird. Well, he's like, well...
There's so many questions.
It's like when you put the innocent guys in a police lineup, he put his innocent penis in the file. So.
That's the control.
Yeah, exactly.
So now Michael goes out and he announces to the office that Dwight is asking for... he has a petition to the Scranton Business Park that he wants them to install new cameras and floodlights.
Which sound like decent proposals.
Which does. And Pam's like shaking her head in agreement. And he's like, I understand what you're thinking. Wouldn't this just shed more light on the penis?
The penises.
The penises.
The multiple penises.
Yes. So then he goes, Pam, you can draw, kind of. Why don't you work with Phallus on a sketch? And she goes, and Pam's like, Phallus? He goes, Phyllis, sorry, penis on the brain.
Yeah, and then Jim does one of his looks to the camera like, what?
Which is just perfect.
Yeah.
So then Pam is in a talking and she's like, you know, it's very rare that I miss Roy, but this is one of the times I wish I was still with him. I wish somebody flashed me while I was still with him because that would have been the ass kicking of the year, especially if it was Jim. Roy would not have wanted me seeing Jim's... I'm saying a lot right now.
I just imagine, like, Jim as a flasher. Like, he's completely nude except for the messenger bag. It's like a loincloth. He just swings it around.
Oh,
like,
my God. That's perfect. I love you, John Krasinski.
Yeah, you're okay.
You can hit us up anytime, John.
Yeah, hit us up on Twitter. Go ahead.
We love you. So, anyway, Pam and Phyllis, I almost said Phallus, are in the conference room, and both of them are just like, man, I don't want to go back to work. Phyllis is like, I really didn't get a good look. So then Karen walks in with a new memo that Dwight has sent out.
She's pissed. Well, she's like fiery.
I would be fiery too because they're only rules for women in the office. That
draconian rules.
Well, you'll be sent home if you have any makeup on, if your heels are over a quarter inch tall, which at that point don't even bother. There's no speaking to strangers without written permission from Dwight Schrute. Then Dwight comes in and just a little bit. I'm removing all the bananas from the kitchen.
I love that. All phallus-shaped fruit shall be cast aside.
So then they go out, and all the ladies are upset, and they're like, Dwight, this is ridiculous. Sleeves to wrist, buttons up to collars, muted colors. Nobody dresses like this. And I'm pretty sure they pan over to Angela really quickly.
And she's not paying attention. She's just, like, reading a report.
Yep, exactly.
But that's what, she's wearing, like, a cat sweater and, like, an ankle-length skirt.
Dude, she has, like, one of those blouses on that have, like the ruffles. Yeah. It looks like the 80s tuxedo shirt.
She looks like she just walked out of the fucking Crucible. Like,
yeah.
The Goody Putnam.
Hester Prim.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
So anyway, then Michael stands up for all the women. He's like, Dwight.
In his own way.
In his own way. I mean, he's like, Dwight, we are not the predators. Like, in the office. It's it's not us. Also, the women should be able to, like, do whatever they want. R-E-S-P-V-T. And he doesn't spell respect.
Well, but no, he doesn't know the song.
Yeah.
Because I guess Aretha
Franklin garbles. Find out what it means to me. But also, I love that while Michael's on this little, like, diatribe of trying to stick up for the women, Dwight's eating the bananas from the kitchen.
Oh, totally chowing down, took.
So Michael decides that they're going to have a Women's Appreciation Day and that he's going to run it. And that he's authorized to do so because he has a mother and a lover.
Well, he also, like, he hits his catchphrase here. Conference room, 5 minutes. Because he wants everybody to go in there for this
Women's Appreciation
symposium
Day.
He's going to put on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he first apologizes. And then he explains that in the right context, a penis is a beautiful sight to a woman. But in the wrong contest, and Dwight goes, alien!
And, you know, this is, like, the first time I can remember. Dwight, like, plays to the camera like Jim.
He
like,
does.
He looks at the camera, he's like, bleh! Like, he pretends it pops out of his chest.
Which, the alien and alien does look like a penis when it pops out of the chest.
That's some space balls.
Well, space balls.
Well, I know. And I'm just thinking of the dancing alien with
hello,
the top
hat. Hello, my honey. Yeah. Hello, my baby.
Well, also, right as Michael's, like, starts, Creed goes, are we still talking about this?
Yeah.
I don't get the big deal. Like, it's just a dick.
Lock me up. So, then he's talking about women's problems, issues, situation. That's what he wants to talk about. He brings up how Hollywood has the picture of a woman being tall, goddess-like, and thin, and how society sucks, and Andy's like, if it was up to me, you ladies would be the fashion models. And Kevin's like, yeah, and then all the fashion models can come here and work with me. Finally, Karen's just like, listen, you're all misogynistic, and you're being assholes, essentially. And Michael's like, thank you, Karen. Thank you. Completely misunderstanding
what misogynistic. He thinks misogynistic is great, yeah.
Yeah. And Michael's confused. And Phyllis is like, Michael, when I got my haircut, you asked me if I was a lesbian now. And then Angela's like, yeah, and whenever we get upset with you, you ask if we're PMSing. He can't even, like, he tries to defend himself.
No, he has nothing
really
to say.
None.
And that's when Dwight chimes in and says he would love to have a period.
Oh, my God, yes, because then he wouldn't have to use calendars. He would just count down from his
cycle. And he'd also be more in tune with the moon and the tides.
Yes. What happened to him in his childhood?
The writing of Dwight
I would love to know.
It's so great.
It's amazing. So then Michael decides that he's going to take the girls for a girls' day. Where else but to the Steamtown Mall. Oh. Angela hates malls. She apparently wears kids size 10.
Yeah.
And she thinks that people are really rude when she's shopping in the junior section. Karen says that, yeah, while it's disrespectful and, like, misogynistic again, she still has shit that she has to return.
Because
so
she does go to
it.
The mall. It's not that insulting.
Because she's down with it.
I like that part.
So then Dwight asks Pam if she has her sketch done before she leaves, and she hands it to him. And Dwight's like, huh, doesn't seem like the type. And she goes, well, Phil's got a good look at it, so this is it. So now we see Dwight at the copy machine, and he's making flyers. It's his face with a mustache and no glasses.
Yeah, like a pencil mustache, like the artist, like Don or what's his name, Jean Dardon or whatever.
Yes,
it looks just like that Rudolph Valentino, some fucking thing.
Oh my god,
thing.
Ridiculous!
Like this little John Waters mustache.
John Waters,
that'd be the
that's the best comparison I would say. So he's making these flyers, like hundreds of these.
What
flyers.
Does the flyer say?
It says this man is a pervert. If seen, please call. And it's the phone number, assumedly for the office.
Yeah, it says call Dwight Schrute at whatever.
So then we see Meredith driving. She's got her minivan and all the ladies and Michael in the car.
They're all jammed in there like fucking Scooby Doo.
And Meredith has, like, a jumbo, like, it's like a three, the bag is literally the size of my entire arm to my mouth.
It's a big bag.
And she's eating these chips, and she takes the bag and puts it over her face so she can get the crumbs out of the bottom. And everybody's just yelling, like,
pay attention, slow down.
Meredith, oh my god! Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, like, it's just ridiculous.
And the more we find out about Meredith, the more, like, insane she is. She's like a female Creed.
Absolutely insane,
like,
yeah.
Like a female Creed with a dependency issue.
100%. So then she just is like, whatever. She throws the giant bag of chips out of her car. They're like, Meredith, that's littering. Like, that's illegal. And she goes, my car, my rules. Just like that, too. Yeah. Like, I don't give a shit. So then Kevin and Jim are in the kitchen, and Kevin's, like, acting like a little kid. He's like, oh, my God, Jim, what do you think the ladies' room is like? And he's like, it's a bathroom, Kevin. It's always been my, it's like every guy's fantasy to go into the ladies' room, though. And it's like, well, actually, it's the locker room, and I think women should be in there for the fantasy. And Kevin's like, oh, yeah, I'm going in anyway. And then you see him run in.
It's pink.
It's pink. We can see the walls. Yeah. And as the door is closing, you just see Kevin astonished. And he goes, oh, my God.
It's so, like he's looking into the Ark of the Covenant.
Right? My God. He's melting in there, apparently. So then we see Andy volunteer to help Dwight hang the flyers. And Dwight's kind of giving him shit.
Dwight's a dick to him. He calls him the office pariah.
Yeah. And so Andy looks at the flyers, and he sees it. He's like, "Oh, good one, Pam."
Yep.
But he's like, "You know what? Fuck it. I'm still gonna put the flyers up."
Oh yeah, because now he can get back at Dwight for being a dick to him.
Exactly. Yep. So now we go to Steamtown Mall, which I'm very impressed. That looks like the Steamtown Mall.
That looks like an external shot. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's actually what it looks like. The sign, it's white and green, just like the actual Steamtown Mall.
It even looks like the entrance layout. Yeah. The parking garage and all that shit.
I was really impressed by it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're inside the parking garage, and Michael's like, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. And Meredith completely scrapes, like, it hurt my ears to hear.
It was rough.
The van scrape up against this poor car, and then she goes, it's a little tight, I'm going to find another spot. And Michael turns around and goes, many women are competent drivers.
Which, I loved that line. I don't know why, because he's, like, trying to make up
he's
for it.
He's trying so hard to make it, like...
To not, like, he didn't take the low-hanging joke that he would typically make, you know?
He was trying to be better. So then we go back to the office, and Jim, Toby, Ryan, and Kevin are now hanging out in the ladies' bathroom, sitting on a couch. There's candles lit.
A fountain.
They're looking at magazines.
There's potpourri that Ryan is sniffing.
He's sniffing and playing with, exactly.
Yes.
So then Toby turns around, and he asks Jim if he decided where he's going to take Karen. And we find out that it is their six-month anniversary, and he's taking her to Anna Maria's in Dunmore, Pennsylvania. Now, do you know the history of Anna Maria's?
Is this the place that was on Robert Irvine's show?
Restaurant Impossible, I believe it was.
Yeah, yeah, yep. I remember that, yeah.
And it is now closed. Permanently closed.
Of course.
It actually says that when you Google Anna Maria's Scranton on Google, it says permanently closed.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they shut it down. Robert Irvine failed.
Yeah, that restaurant was impossible.
So then Ryan is kind of like quizzically looking at Jim and... Jim's like, what's up? And he goes, well, I think everybody thought you and Karen were just, like, hooking up. And she might tell you about an email that I wrote. And Jim's like, oh, yeah, she read it to me. She wants me to let you know that she's just not ready to date anybody in the office. And then Ryan goes, yeah, I'm not either.
Yeah, and Kevin's, like, laughing.
Because he's still with Kelly
this
whole time.
Kevin's hiding behind, like, an edition of Elle magazine. It's hilarious.
So, we're back at the mall, and Michael has bought all of the women, like, Cinnabons and drinks, and everybody's kind of just sitting there quietly. Angela is reading the Electric City newspaper.
A newspaper, current events magazine, like, things that are going around in town. Tattoo festivals, restaurants, clubs, music, whatever.
I did enjoy that little...
That was a nice little local flavor.
Exactly.
I like that.
So, then Michael's like, all right, I'm going to break the silence. What's a pap smear, or is it schmear?
Like a
bagel.
Like on a bagel. And immediately Pam's like, let's move on.
Let's move on. Different thing. So then she's like, Kelly, how are you and Ryan? And Kelly's like, Awesome! Well, awful, actually. But awesome! Like, what? So then, like, Michael's like, what do you guys think about role play?
He just immediately broaches that topic.
What the fuck? And Phyllis is like, it can be fun.
Oh, Phyllis was all about it, though.
No, she's like, finally, a conversation I can get in on.
Whips and chains, right? And role play and all that.
And Michael explains that Jan has a schoolgirl fantasy, and Karen's like, well, that's not strange. And he's like, yeah, but I feel really uncomfortable wearing the dress.
He's getting pegged.
And Pam's like, you shouldn't do anything you feel uncomfortable doing, Michael.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so man, the floodgates open here.
Yeah.
Like, some fucking scars, man.
It really did. Now, we did open up, I forgot to mention, that as soon as role play was brought up, Angela's like, I'll be at the doll store.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So she explained earlier how she feels uncomfortable because she dresses in the junior, or shops in the junior section. Then, while she's at the mall, she talks about how the clothes at Gap Kids or Kids Gap are sometimes too flashy for her. And now she's going to the doll store because sometimes she just has to order clothes that are for large colonial dolls.
Yeah, which explains her garb.
Oh, my God. Well, Hester Prim, yeah. That explains it. So,
the way she delivered that line, though, like, in the talking head, she's, like, in the middle of the mall talking about it. And, like, I don't know why, but, like, the way Angela says it, it's, like, so matter of fact.
Yeah.
But, it, like, I don't know.
It's fantastic.
It killed me.
You know, Angela Kinsley, she does an amazing straight face.
Yeah.
Because I've seen her actually speak, and she's such a happy, light person. So, I mean, she really had to have pulled it out for this miserable bitch of Angela.
Yeah, and her podcast probably isn't as good as ours.
No, definitely not. Don't listen to that. We had it first. So anyway, yeah, I mean, we don't have background stories, so.
I got lots of stories.
Set of The Office.
I got stories 9 days a week.
Yeah. All right, so anyway, that's when Pam's like, you don't have to do something that makes you uncomfortable. And Michael says how Jan pressures him into doing things. Like, she tapes them having sex and then reviews it right after so that he can improve his form.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, my God. And he goes, the worst part is that she watches it with her therapist.
Yeah.
What?
I didn't know what to take out of that. If that, like, why the therapist would do, like, indulge that?
I have no idea. Just another layer of Jan's insanity.
Yeah, Jan's nuts.
Yeah.
We're coming to find out.
Oh, my God, yeah. At least she's getting help, though.
Yeah, she is seeing a shrink.
But Pam and Karen are like, normal women don't do that, Michael. Like, that's not a normal thing.
Do you notice that between the two of them is Meredith the whole time side-eyeing them? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, she partakes in this?
She's just sucking on her lemonade, like, yep, I'm just here. Just hanging out here. So Michael, literally starts crying. He's like, I don't know what to do about Jan. Which is, I mean, been there.
Well, they
women do this.
They do the pro-con list on a napkin. Well,
yep, that's the next thing.
Yeah.
So the pros are her boobs, her clothes.
He starts off with smart.
Yeah.
And I think funny or some other like attribute that's not physical.
Yes.
And successful.
Yes.
And then it's her boobs, her butt.
Yep.
Her
the
body.
The way she dresses.
Yeah, her nice clothes.
Yes. But then it goes to the cons and he's like, oh, her boobs are nothing to write home about, flat-chested, I'm unhappy when I'm with her. And they're like, wait, what? Yeah, I'm unhappy when I'm with her. Mm-hmm. So then Phyllis goes, Michael, without thinking, just answer, what do you want to do about Jan? And he goes, I want to break up with Jan. And well, she goes, my mom taught me that.
My favorite part is when they ask him when he is happy with her. And he goes, well, when we're scrapbooking or like near the end of sex. So the orgasms are great.
The orgasms are great. Everything in between that and scrapbooking are shit.
It's hilarious.
My God. So then Michael decides that to pay back the women's kindness, he's going to buy them each an item from Victoria's Secret.
Whatever they want.
Yep. So then Jim and all the guys are still in the ladies' room. And Creed
highlight of the episode.
Yes. Creed walks in with a Walkman. And he's like, what are you all doing in here?
Yeah, he's talking loudly because the music is playing.
And they go, what are you doing in here? And he goes, I come in here and I pay very dearly for that right.
Yeah.
And then we find out that in his talking head, he's literally yelling. He has his Walkman on. He goes, I do some really strange things, but the strangest, I like to go number two in the ladies' room. And I've been caught multiple times, and I've paid dearly.
Yes, I'm assuming he's like paying cash to the women,
maybe?
For the right to use the bathroom.
Oh my god! But then he goes,
because no one's ever reported him.
No. But he goes into the stall, and
they all vomit.
They all are just like, "Yep," and that's our cue.
Toby's just like, I don't know, there's something about it. He's sitting there in his like extra big suit. His suits are always like zoot suits.
Yep.
And he's sitting there like going through a woman's magazine. God. He looks so ridiculous.
That poor man. He needs a wife again. So anyway, then Michael is, we're back at the mall and Angela's sitting outside of Victoria's Secrets very angrily. And Michael's like trying to talk her into getting something. He's like, come on, what about some, I'd love to buy you some panties. Thong, G-string, T-string. Like, he's going through
bustier,
see-through, push-up, water.
What he ends on, though, is money.
What does he end on, Kevin?
I just want to buy you a clean pair of underwear.
Yep. He goes through every single...
As if they're all dirty. This is so fucking great.
He goes through every different type of undergarment.
Yeah.
And she just will... She's not even answering him at this
just
point.
Just staring ahead.
And so then Karen walks over and she's like, Phyllis, what do you think? And it's like this lime green and pink bra and panty set.
Only one thing came to mind. Mikey Likey.
Oh, God. Ooh, Mikey Likey. Which, I mean, lime green is not my flavor, but it probably
works really nicely on her.
Works on her. And Phyllis is like, oh, Jim will love it. Which, I mean, perfect timing. 6 month anniversary that night. Going to dinner. Get some. Good for Jim.
Get some.
So then Pam is in the background and she sees the whole thing go down and she's talking about how she's in between boyfriends, the only boyfriend she's had, and she needs new hand towels, so she's going to get a robe so that she can cut them up. Which, can I just say, it's a travesty because I know how much those robes are at Victoria's Secrets. They're like $80.
Robes are, like, Jim Gaffigan has that old, like, stand-up, like, he does the routine about robes. Like, who has time to enjoy a robe?
If
you go outside to get the paper or something, it looks like you escaped a mental institution. Like, he has the whole stand-up thing. And the fucked up thing is, our brother Oz, who co-hosts the show,
lives in a robe.
You'll go to his place and he's there in a fucking robe.
And Colts slippers.
Yeah, the Indianapolis Colts slippers. He's just fucking living life like he's Hugh Hefner.
He is.
It's fucking hilarious.
I mean, good for him.
He enjoys a robe. I mean,
he
good
does.
For him. But, like, he's the only human being I know who wears a fucking robe.
I think Mom used to.
Mom did when we were kids.
Yeah.
But, like, I felt like that was like an early 90s mom kind of thing. Like, the moms on Rugrats wore them.
Oh my god.
So, like, our mom did natural.
BB Pickles.
Yeah, because she had those Coke bottle glasses too. Like, the big.
Oh my
like,
god, you're right.
It was the early 90s. Like, that's what women wore. And, like, she looked like the lady in the Old Navy commercial, you know, at the big. You remember the lady with the big black glasses?
Oh my god, that woman's like 80.
No, she's dead now.
Oh my god.
I'm just saying the glasses. Like,
so, anyway, getting back. Right. Tangent alert. Mm. So then we're back in the van and Meredith is driving and Angela's, of course, yelling at her like, Meredith, slow down, Meredith, slow down, which sounds like my husband when I'm driving. Mary, slow down.
No, it's real. Mare Bear, when she's driving, if you get her talking, she talks so much that she doesn't realize that the faster she talks, the further down her foot goes on the accelerator. Next thing you know, you're flying 80 down a fucking side street.
No.
And she's like, oh, she turns into Kelly Kapoor. Oh my god, you'll never guess what that dirty bitch said. Oh my god, let me tell you about work. This fucking project is so crazy. And meanwhile, you're like in a fucking DeLorean.
We're traveling back in time. Well, we're going, we don't need roads.
I don't blame your husband at all for using that line. It's fucking unbelievable.
So anyway, they're yelling at Meredith about her driving, and Michael goes, oh god, Jan's calling.
This was a good sight gag, by the way.
This was, but...
Did you see Kelly?
No.
As My Humps was playing, she was grooving.
Oh my god.
She's sitting next to Michael grooving, and she's smiling. She's dancing to My Humps.
My Humps.
It's awesome.
So, now this is where we see. Now, I didn't touch on it earlier, but I'll bring it back around now.
All right.
While Michael is going on the pros and cons of his list with Jan, Karen is saying, well, every relationship goes through a rough patch.
Yeah.
You need to work through it. And Pam's like, you're obviously not right for each other. You should just break it off
now.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. It's kind of, like, subtle in a way.
Oh, but, yeah, because afterwards they both kind of look at each other and, like,
well, they both
shit.
Give Michael different advice, like, to answer the phone.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
That's why I'm bringing that back around.
Because
Karen's like, answer it. And Pam's like, don't answer it, Michael!
Yeah.
And it just stops. And Michael's like, oh, okay, it's gone. Then the tire blows out.
Yeah.
And Meredith pulls that minivan over to the side of the road, and everybody gets out.
The way she turns the wheel, it's like O'Doyle's dad and Billy Madison. Like, she just chucks the wheel.
So, anyway, we're back at the office real quick. Jim sees the pervert flyer, and he just smiles at the camera, and he goes, that's funny. That's a good one.
Tip of the hat.
Yeah. So then we're back, and all the ladies are like, Michael, we need you to change the tire. And he's like, oh, yeah, get me the Allen screw.
Crescent.
Yeah, the Allen crescent wrench.
As he's, like, bullshitting his way through it, Pam is like, Meredith, put on your hazard, and she pulls out the jack, and Michael tries to use
the jack. Like, go, give me the lever. Yeah. That's what he calls it. He tries to use the jack to get the lug nuts off. You can see how often I change tires. AAA is there for a reason.
I've changed a few in my day.
Oh, remember when on the paper route, Mom got a flat tire?
Don't recall that one.
Oh, yeah, she did. We were, like, tucked in a back street of Archbold, Pennsylvania.
Archbold.
And we had a minivan stacked with papers. That was a good
time. I do not
remember
this.
I don't think you were with us. Because we actually had to call our cousin to come and help us. Because Mom was like, I can't do it. So anyway.
Jesus. So she played into the stereotype that women can't change.
Yeah,
their. Okay.
Pretty much.
But Pam does it all by herself.
But Pam did it.
Yeah.
Pam is awesome. And she does, like, you know what? She feels accomplished afterwards. And she even, like, wipes her head. She's like, the rope came in handy. I don't know if she, like, laid on it or,
I think,
like,
wiping the grease off
on it.
Yeah.
But then she wipes her forehead and she got grease on her forehead. Like, job well done, Pam. Now you've got the mark to show it. So we go back, and Dwight and Andy are outside. They close the gate on the business park, and there's now barbed wire around the
top. Yeah, it's like razor wire, like around a prison, or around a McDonald's in the Bronx.
Oh, my God.
No, across from Yankee Stadium. I swear to God, it's like a demilitarized
zone. Yeah. So then Andy pulls out, I think it's a Snickers, and he goes, halvesies, and Dwight goes, no, wholesies. And he takes the whole chocolate bar off of him and eats half of it like an animal. And Andy's like, you know what? I'm going to hang these flyers around my house, around my neighborhood, the schools, the libraries. Dwight's kind of like, oh, you know what? You're a pretty good guy, as he's choking on the candy bar that he took off of Andy.
Yeah, well, he doesn't say you're a pretty good guy. He goes, you're not such an ass.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is a worse way of putting it.
Yeah, that's true.
You're less tactful, if you will.
But Andy is doing, like, they kind of, Dwight leaves and they just kind of stay on Andy's face for a second. He's like, fuck yeah, I did it.
Fuck yeah.
Yes. So now, Michael and the ladies are back at the office, and Michael's decided he's going to call Jan and break up with her. And he goes, I need my girls, Karen, Pam, Phyllis, you can come too. And they're all in there, and as he's calling her, he's like, I love you guys. Like, he's turned into a female. Like,
he's in touch with the feminine side.
I love you guys. Like, dude, girls used to do that in elementary school.
I love you, BFF.
Yeah, elementary school.
And
So anyway, they're all rooting him on, and Michael leaves possibly the worst breakup voicemail because Jan doesn't answer. And Pam's like, don't leave a voicemail. And he's like, hey, Jan, I think we should take a break permanently. It's not you, it's me, or it's not me, it's you. You just don't make me happy. Like, he's going on and on.
Yeah.
And as he's saying it, Jan walks into the office, and all of the women walk out, and she's, like, smiling. She's like, oh, hey, girls. And Michael's like, okay, buddy, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, he pretends it's not a call to her.
Still on the voicemail. And so Jan walks in. She's like, listen, I didn't like the way our conversation went. I've been worrying about it all day. I drove down here to apologize. You want to go get dinner?
It's actually a very adult
it's
thing.
It's insincere.
And it seems like we're getting both sides of Jan.
Exactly.
We're getting
it's
like
psychotic.
This, the thing is, we don't see that. We hear from Michael about that.
Well, I mean, her offering to pay him $300 because she misses his body. Not, I miss you. The way she said it, I miss your body.
That's just sexual.
Yeah.
She's horny. That's all.
But now she's caring about his feelings.
Yeah, and she seems like a nice person who understands that they went too far and they're apologizing. They're being the bigger person in a way.
And Michael's eyes are the size of dinner plates. He's like, yeah, sure, let's go get dinner. And she's like, oh, hold hold on, my phone's going off. Oh, it's from you. And as she's listening to this voicemail of him breaking up with her, he's like, so do you want to do Italian, Chinese? What do you want to do?
Chinese.
And her face just drops.
Yeah.
And she just gets up and walks out.
Just leaves him.
Yeah. So then we end the episode almost with Michael explaining that he's learned a lot and he wishes a lot of things for every woman. He wishes for Kelly a brain, for Angela a heart, and for Pam courage. But something for everybody. He threw a dollar in the wishing well at the Steamtown Mall.
I love his Wizard of Oz callback.
Yes.
Didn't he also wish a plasma TV for somebody or something?
I think so.
Something like that.
But then he's like, you have to ask yourself, Michael, if you respect women so much, why did you break up with Jan? Would you call me illogical, flighty, unpredictable, emotional? Maybe I did learn something from the women today. The fuck, Michael.
That's awesome.
The fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So then the last thing we see as we close out the episode, Jim calls Dwight, the number on the flyer, and Dwight goes, Dunder Mifflin, this Dwight Schrute also pervert hotline or something like that. And Jim goes, listen, I just saw the Predator in the women's bathroom above the sink.
Mm-hmm.
So then Dwight goes in and he's like, above the sink. And he takes off his glasses, looks in the mirror, and there's John Waters' mustache painted on the mirror.
Jim put it on the mirror. Yeah.
Like, just about his height.
Yeah.
And all you hear is Dwight go, PAM! And that's how we close out the episode.
It was a really good episode.
That was a really,
what,
really
what
good
What did
episode.
You rank it?
I gave it a 4.7.
I took a line from Oz.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as a 5. A 5 is insurmountable. It's the best there is. So I gave it a 4.9.
Just, you know what, Oz? Go suck a dick.
Oh,
Jesus.
Wow. This is harsh.
There's no such thing as a 5.
No, he said there is such thing as 5, but only one episode can be a 5. There can be only one standard bearer, is what he told me. Didn't you listen to the
episode?
You didn't listen to the episode he was on, did you?
I did, but...
No, you didn't!
No, I did, but he was so nervous. I mean, thank God for Oz filling in.
As you just said that horrible thing to him. Thank God for doing that, you asshole.
Thank you for filling in for me, Oz, but, I mean, I can't listen to myself. I don't like hearing my own voice.
Uh-huh.
So it's not in my routine to listen to our eps.
Okay.
So and plus, I don't want to skew the numbers.
The numbers? For the network.
All seven listens that we get.
We need to be clean for the network. But I gave it a 4.9. I loved this episode.
This was fantastic.
I thought it was great. I thought it was awesome.
The only thing that, like, I really didn't enjoy, and I feel like I should have, but I just couldn't.
Was it?
It was Andy and Dwight. I could have done without them hanging up the flyers.
See, I liked it because...
I mean, I get that it adds a layer because now Dwight's face is posted around all of Scranton as a pervert. But, like, the interactions, I'm like...
Man. I thought that one had more legs than the female bathroom one storyline.
Really?
Yeah, I did. I thought it was much better. Because Andy's back and, like, Dwight is insulting him over and over again. And, like, Andy is showing, like, restraint.
I guess.
Yeah, like for his character.
Yeah, all right. It pushes the character along.
So, like, instead of, like, freaking out on Dwight, he's like, I'll get even by doing this because you're too stupid to see this. Like,
yeah.
I enjoyed that part about it.
I'll give you that. I mean, I only deducted 0.3 points.
So, is this the first sense of friction that we've gotten from Pam and Karen?
I would think so because
I can't recall anything else.
They've been buddy buddy.
Yeah, and, like, every time there's been, like, some sort of issue or something like that, Karen has gone to Pam.
Yeah.
And been, like, very cordial and nice and polite.
Yeah.
And
even when she found out, like, Jim...
Kissed her.
She didn't say anything to Pam. She wasn't cold to her.
No. And she's always been, like, right there with her and everything. Like, but then Pam is, like, making digs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Pam is showing her teeth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she is. You know what, though, I did like about this episode is all the local shout-outs.
Oh, there's a ton of local
shout-outs. I enjoyed
it. Yeah.
It's nice when they tie it back instead of just being like, yeah, we're based in Scranton.
Yeah.
Like, we had a couple local call-outs on this episode.
Yeah,
and it's really neat to see that.
Is that something they did on purpose?
What do you mean?
Like, that they really went balls to the wall with all the local callbacks. Like, filling a vending machine with local... things.
I think so.
And even just the shit on Dwight and Michael's desk is all local themed stuff, like the local baseball team or radio stations or
Froggy
something.
Froggy 101 bumper sticker.
Yeah.
I think they did because they knew that if, like, they're trying to make it realistic.
So rather than creating a fictional city or just like New York or something like that, they're like, we'll pick a low-level city.
A mid-level city.
In the Rust Belt. Yeah, and throw it
essentially.
In there. So.
Well, I mean, I'm not... I've never watched the original Office, the UK
British,
version.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know if they're based in a real town.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Maybe if our listeners have watched the UK version of The Office, let us know.
Yeah, send it to
us. So it might be just that formula.
Yeah.
But
well,
I mean,
it
hey,
seems like
it
an
did...
American thing, though. More so than a British thing.
But you know what, though? I will say, having it based in Scranton, people come here now.
It's actually more of a nuisance, to be honest.
Well, for the locals.
Because like, every time I go out of the area, or go out of state, or whatever... All like or whenever, even if
right,
you're just
so
online and somebody says, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" Scranton. Oh, dude, Dunder Mifflin, man. Oh my god! Like people actually come here thinking there's real landmarks, like from the
but
show.
But that's what I mean, though. So like it's actually helped the city, I think, especially
maybe.
With the Netflix resurgence of everybody binging it. Like people take their honeymoon here. It's up
no, what?
Tourism.
What?
Yeah, people came here. To do their, like, people plan their honeymoons to come to Scranton to go to Poor Richard's.
Okay, we
to go to Cooper's.
We rewatched the show, but that's, like, that's excessive.
Yeah.
That's
no, I mean, hey, there's super fans out there, and kudos to them that that's where they want to spend their honeymoon. I went to Vegas, like.
I want to go to Smallville.
Exactly.
Pick some stupid town.
But no, but you know what I mean? I think it's been good for the area.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, when I work with people across the country at my job, and when I say Scranton because they don't know the little towns around it, and they barely know Scranton. Some of them were like, wait. Where's that? And I have to go Wilkes-Barre, and then they know what I'm talking about.
Who knows Wilkes-Barre?
People that I work with, apparently.
Well, I digress. Anyway, so what do you think about Jan and Mike? What's that about? How you feeling about that?
I think that Michael wanted what he couldn't have. He got what he couldn't have,
and realizes that he shouldn't have wanted it in the first place.
She's a psychopath,
mm-hmm.
And he's kind of like. But I think he likes the crazy sometimes. You know what I mean? Like
it sounds like well, no, it doesn't. It sounds like he doesn't like it at all, unless it's an orgasm or scrapbooking. That's what he said. This is the words.
Yeah.
I think he's realizing why Gould left.
Yeah, probably.
But I mean, I don't know. There's really I'm thinking of character stuff in this episode. It was more of a straight comedy, which I loved, except for Michael talking about Jan and then Jan coming back and
mm-hmm.
Like I said, being the bigger woman and everything. It was a solid show. I loved the comedy. It made me laugh. This one
made me giggle.
This was one
time.
Where it didn't, like, it was another 30-minute episode, like we've talked in the past, where
yeah.
they put the deleted scenes in, but it didn't feel as long as other ones
it
did.
It didn't feel as long, and I don't think it hurt the episode at all.
No. Like, the length...
I would not be able to tell you what the deleted scene
yeah.
was.
Because it was so funny, it flew by.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, the one last week, I don't even know if it was 30 minutes, the safety training one.
I think it was. Maybe.
Anyway, it felt like a fucking baton death march. It felt like an hour to get through that fucking show.
And they fit so much in 30 minutes. Phyllis got flashed. Creed's hanging brain. Like, the mall. Like, they fit
women's
a lot.
Bathroom. The
yeah.
pervert sign. Yeah. Like, everybody had something to do, and I enjoyed the hell out of this
Same.
Episode. It was good shit. Is there anything else you want to talk about this one?
Creed's a fantastic character.
Creed's an awesome
hanging brain, paying to use the ladies' room to do his number two.
He's an awesome supporting cast member
really
on the show.
He
might
I
be
really
my favorite.
Like, I really enjoyed this episode.
Right.
When I saw it on the docket,
so you knew
I was,
it was
really
coming?
Excited for this week. Yeah.
Right.
I was really excited for this week.
So next, we are covering season 3, episode 22, Beach Games.
Yes,
and we will be getting to that right after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed. We dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceofNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth search projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placemination.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and HistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceofNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to the Brother and Sister Rewatch. We are here for halftime, the intermission portion of our show. And this is the portion of the show where we put ourselves over, as well as our partners at Place to Be Nation. And right now I'm going to tell you what's going on over at the PTBN Pop Feed. The Sarcastic Four are back with the latest episode of the Marvel Age podcast, where they continue their look at roughly one-third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year of 1972. Also, check out weekly shows like the Hard Traveling Fanboys. On this latest episode, they go on a long book hunt and venture into Elseworlds with James Robinson's The Golden Age. Also, on DC4U, take a wild trip down memory lane with guest Greg Phillips as they discuss the seminal Geoff Johns book, Green Lantern Rebirth. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as well, with Roger and Johnny recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother and Sister Rewatch podcast. I had to fill in. Yeah. On the newest Diamond Conversations, the fourth episode features a one-on-one chat with Executive Vice President and GM of the Fredericksburg Nationals, Nick Hall. The Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament kicks off on Monday, November 25th, beginning with the play-in round. There will be four matchups per day, so make sure to like our tournament page so you won't miss a single one.
Super
get on it.
Super pumped for
it's
that.
It's going to be awesome. I am jacked. Over on the PTBN Wrestling feed, on the premiere episode of Body Press Your Luck, PTBN's first ever wrestling trivia game show, hosts JT Rosero and Jordan Duncan welcome Ryan Everett, Neil Trauma, and Logan Crossland to battle it out. If you think you have what it takes to be a main eventer on the show, reach out to us and you may be on a future episode. The latest episode of the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott are joined by Peter Winson to dig into the fallout from the Royal Rumble by looking at Saturday Night's main event from January 27th, 1990. I just listened to that show. Awesome. It's great shit. Old wrestling is my milieu. I think that's the proper way to put it.
I have no idea. I'm not French.
On part one of the main event, Nate and Scott preview AEW's Full Gear and Impact's Turning Point. Both very good shows. I actually watched the AEW pay-per-view with some friends. Good stuff. Then, Scott Criscoll, Nate Milton, and Tim Capel get together on the latest main event special, AEW Full Gear Reaction Show, to break down and give their analysis. We dive back inside the vault as Parv and Chad deliver a review of Great American Bash 1988 in the classic edition of Where the Big Boys Play. Row 1, Seat 128, Ben hosts PTBN's own JT Rosero chronicling his history as a wrestling fan and the founding and growth of Place to Be Nation. In our newest show, With This Ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy look at the five matches and discuss where they place on Ryan's GWWE match list as well as on Cindy's personal list. On the latest PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with three episodes of ECW TV, Hardcore TV, from June of 94. Subscribe to the Jenny Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and more. Don't forget to check out PlaceToBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including the SmackDown and Fox Report this week in the WWE, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, and Ben's Unpopular Opinion. But don't forget about veteran columns like every Wednesday, where we've got Glenn's Weekly Walk, where he looks at the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web. For college football fans, Scott Criscoll and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Now, by the time this airs, Penn State will have played Indiana in Happy Valley. But I want to talk about what just happened this past weekend, where they lost to the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yep.
We are not happy.
No.
We are recognizing that James Franklin is a terrible in-game coach, but a decent recruiter and motivator.
Wow.
He's a horrible, fucking horrible coach. Don't even get me started.
No, we won't.
Oh, And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to Amazon and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Christmas is coming up, guys. Why don't you help them out, you know?
Just absolutely.
Throw that out there. Mayor Bear might pull my name in the Christmas grab bag this year.
I already know what I'm getting you if I do.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm not telling you.
Lame. Check out the social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining the GWWE, PPV, and TV Match Ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Ballots are now open, and the ballot link is available on the Facebook group page. Now, Mayor Bear, do you want to put us over?
Absolutely. So, guys, as you know, you can always hit us up at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. We like to keep it lively and lively and flimmy. Lively and light over there. We like to keep it fun. So hit us up there. Again, that's at Brosis Podcast. Also, if you have any thoughts in your heads about what the hell we're doing, hit us up at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. Comments, questions, concerns, complaints, bring them on.
We'd be happy to hear them, yeah.
Yeah, seriously, we'd love to read them on the air. It's BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts again at Brosis Podcast on Twitter.
You're doing it like one of those commercials that ends where they send the phone number 15 times. 857-3251. That is 857-3251.
J.G. Wentworth.
Yeah, oh, 877.
Cash now.
That's right. Or 877 cash now. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Fuck.
Oh, yeah.
867-53.
J.G. Wentworth. I'll take that commission check.
Repetition, man. That's exactly. Where it's at. So you keep saying that, eventually they're going to follow
exactly.
Us.
It's like Monday Street on Monday Street.
That's a local one, man.
If you're a local, you know that commercial without me even having to finish that.
On Monday Street.
Yep.
That's Monday Street. Just imagine an old guy saying that 15 times in a radio ad. Holy fuck. All right. So we got that out of the way, and now we're going on to Season 3, Episode 22 of The Office, Beach Games.
Yes.
So, it starts with the cold open, where Michael is in his office with Dwight, and they're looking online for an illness that has no symptoms. As Pam explains that 40 times a year, Michael comes down with an illness, but shows no symptoms, and it was when Dwight walked in with papers for him to sign.
Yep.
So it's his way of avoiding work. So David Wallace calls Mike and offers Michael to come in for an interview for a corporate position, and asks Mike to think of replacements for his job in Scranton.
Yeah, as the regional manager.
Yeah. And in the middle of David Wallace trying to pitch this to him, Michael immediately starts apologizing for breaking Jan's heart
very
awkwardly.
Well, because David sighs and he goes, Jan? Is Jan on on the line?
You sigh like Jan.
So. Which is so funny that that's what he, like,
yeah,
oh, you sigh like her.
He's used to disappointing her. there's the cold open. Now we open up, and everyone's in beach clothes in the office. And this was a nice change of pace. It wasn't Jim, Pam, or Michael explaining where the episode was going. It was Meredith.
Yep.
And she's sitting in the conference room, and she's explaining that it's beach day. And that they're all going to the beach, and she goes, and I get to wear my bathing suit under my shirt. And she lifts her shirt, and it's her tits.
Yep, she flashes the camera.
And she's like, oh, I forgot my bathing suit's in my purse. It was very true to form. So Michael is, like, rounding everybody up. He's talking. He goes over to Oscar. He's like, did you bring your Speedo?
Yes. Oh, my God.
And Oscar's like, I don't wear a Speedo. And of course, Michael's like, well, you can't swim in leather pants.
Oh, my God.
So Toby comes in wearing this floppy hat.
Aww.
I don't even know how to describe it. How would you describe it?
I would
kind of like a pimped up Indiana Jones hat.
I was gonna say like almost like a cowboy hat, but with a wider, floppier straw.
Yeah, something you
brim.
Might see somebody wearing safari, perhaps.
Maybe
like the guy in Jurassic Park: Lost World who like hunted the dinosaurs, like big game. Like I think he wore one of these hats. But Michael just tells him, "You're not going. Someone has to stay back."
Yeah.
And Toby gets all disappointed.
I actually feel bad for Toby.
Yeah, this was the first time where I was like, oh, that's harsh.
Because
Michael tells him that. And Toby just, he can't like fight it. He just goes, it's beach day.
Yeah, man, it's beach day.
So Toby goes to Pam and gives her his sunblock. And she goes, oh, thanks, I forgot mine. I'm wearing a two-piece.
And he like moans. He's like,
oh, I'm going to miss it. It's hilarious.
That was a weird part. He's just like,
oh. Because, well, we know what Toby and Pam.
Well, Toby wanted to see her in the two-piece.
Oh, yeah,
so
hard.
But he, like, moaned. That's what I mean.
Yeah, the moan was weird. Yeah.
That's what I meant, was the,
It's like, oh, never mind. So Michael goes over to Pam and he gives her the job of taking notes and trying to figure out who has most of his qualities, like funny, charismatic, and shit like that. And she's kind of like, she doesn't get it, but she's like, oh, okay, whatever, I'll take notes.
You know what I have to ask, though? Huh. These people are at work, they're getting paid for the day,
yeah.
And she's like, because who doesn't want to go to the beach and take notes? It's like, you really thought that your boss was just taking you on a field trip so that you could go to the beach? Well, but then again, it is Michael Scott.
Is it?
But it's like, but that's how she's treating it. Like, oh yeah, because who doesn't want to just take notes on beach day? Like, they're acting like it's a field trip and you're in elementary school.
Do you remember?
Like, you're not expected to do anything but just lounge on the beach and get paid for it.
Well, maybe, I don't know, maybe they won like a, don't they, like, companies do incentive things like, oh, you get one trip to the beach or something. Beach nearest you.
I mean, I've never heard that. I've gotten, hey, your team gets, like, popcorn.
Popcorn?
Or your team gets, your company like,
sucks. Your company sucks.
Hey, we have a treat cart, and you can pick one treat off of it.
So you guys don't even get pretzel day, huh?
No! That's like customer service appreciation week. I had to make the cotton candy for everybody.
You made cotton
candy. I made cotton candy.
This is amazing. This is some new territory. Did you make it here at your home?
No. Like when I worked on site, when I worked in customer service.
Wait, so you ran the equipment? Like the big fucking wheel?
Yeah, I poured the sugar in and I made the cotton candy on the stick.
Isn't that dangerous?
And bagged it. Yeah, that shit's hot. Okay, that stuff is really hot.
How they put it, there's like equipment that probably costs a pretty penny in the hands of a complete novice.
Exactly. Who,
and if they knew you, you'd get like totally skittish and like lose a finger or something.
I did almost.
It's fucking crazy.
I did almost. Then we made snow cones, like.
Snow cones seem like a safer alternative.
Yeah, except for when you have to put the block of ice in and pull the handle down to, like, chop it up.
Oh.
You have to slice the chicken.
Was it like a block of ice like they used to run up, like, in New York when people didn't have freezers? They'd, like, take a block of ice up, like, the size of a fucking, like,
no,
chest.
It wasn't that big, no. But, like, you still have to put it in, and then, there's blades that come and chop it.
That's not like you're going to stick your hand in there.
No,
you need Daryl to come in and do safety training for
that
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
So, everybody's walking outside.
Actually, you know what?
What?
Really funny. This is a tangent. Sorry, guys.
Go ahead. Go for it.
I used to tell my husband about the customer service weeks because the supervisors essentially had to run them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would tell my husband, who works in a warehouse, and I'd be like, yeah, I had to make cotton candy for like 6 hours today. And he would literally say, he's like, I don't understand. It's like you work in the fucking office. Like, you were working at Dunder Mifflin.
Yeah,
like, what the hell? He's like, you have a carnival week?
And
you that's what the theme was that year. Was
so you
carnival
had, like, clowns
week.
And floppy shoes walking around your office?
No, it was, like, carnival week where, like, their treat was, like, a carnival treat every day.
Caramel apples or something?
Yeah. Ugh, but then disgusting. You also have to, like, there's allergies and shit like that.
Jesus Christ.
Somebody apparently gets migraines triggered by the smell of popcorn. God. Yeah, it's, like, ridiculous.
I forgot
But I would explain to my husband, like, oh, yeah, I have to make the goodie bags, and I have to do this. And he's like, you literally work at Dunder Mifflin. What the fuck?
Making cotton candy.
Full circle. We have come full circle. Back to it, though.
Yes.
Sorry.
So everyone is leaving the office. Creed is wearing a Hawaiian shirt, carrying a boogie board, and he has one of those baseball hats that has, like,
the flaps on it.
Yeah, it looks like Goofy.
Yeah.
Like, with the big ears. And he's, like, leaving with... Everybody's going out to a party bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're on the bus, and Kevin is singing The Gambler. And then they all break into song.
Get
like
to know when to hold.
Yeah, and Michael's, like, doing, like, this... Oh!
When to fall back.
Yeah, he's in the back, like, doing
know
this...
When to walk away.
He's, like, doing an aria. It's fucking great.
Know
but, like, it's just funny, because, like, they're all singing, like, they're expected, like... Every year at Beach Day, they sing songs like a family on a road trip or something like that.
Well, for birthday, happy birthdays, Michael sings the falsetto.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, Michael gets up in front of everyone to, like, talk about, you know, it's not just Beach Day. He has plans.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanley starts belly aching, and Michael's response is, why don't you just go to the back of the bus, Stanley?
Yeah, and, Stanley's like, excuse me? Yeah.
And Michael realized, like, oh, shit, I just stepped on a racist landmine.
Parked him.
Yeah, and then he just, like, kind of goes over it and says, well, we're having funtivities today, and the winner gets a prize.
Yep.
He doesn't explain anything further than that. So they arrive at Lake Scranton.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah, we guys. Okay, this is a bone of contention for locals, I think.
About that, guys. We don't have a beach.
There is no beach.
There's a walking trail because Lake Scranton is the water source.
Yes, yeah.
I don't know for how big or what municipality.
Well, it's a rather large lake. I think the
it's 3.5 miles. That's
around
what
it.
The walking trail and as close as you'll get to the water yeah. is at least.
Yeah. So the whole idea of a beach and like yeah. sand and that no
no sorry guys.
Although the garbage in it kind of rang true to be honest, but. So they're walking, like, along this beach area to get there. And Michael, I don't know, this might be a bit obscure of a reference for him, but he just goes, look out for snakes! And there is a famous line from a Mystery Science Theater movie from like, season 3 of that show.
Okay.
Where there's these people on the side of the road in the desert, and, like, this totally disembodied voice just goes, look out for snakes!
Oh,
and
my God!
I feel like, I don't know if, like, they went that deep
They
for,
may
into
have.
Mystery Science Theater for like a Michael reference, but it just you know it hit my ear a certain way where I was like I think I know what that is.
Oh my God!
So they all get up on the beach and Michael explains that they're doing games and he's doing this in the like the fashion of Jeff Probst on Survivor yeah. and he's like getting like dramatic about it. And he says there's going to be 4 tribes, and now when he picks the leaders and he does a talking head about each one.
Yeah.
So he goes the 4 tribe leaders will be Jim, Dwight, Andy, Stanley.
And, yeah, randomly.
Yeah, randomly, but he knows who he's picking. And then, like, he says, you guys got to pick your team, pick your players, but you can't pick Pam. She's not playing. Yeah. And she's over on the side diligently taking notes on a notepad for Michael. So Michael does a talking head where he says, Jim Halpert, pros. He's smart, cool, and handsome. Remind you of anybody?
Yeah.
And he goes, cons. Not a hard worker. It takes me all day to do a project, and he'll just finish it in a half hour. Awesome. Then he goes, Dwight. Sales record is great. He loves the work, but he's an idiot. So then we go back, and they're all picking team names. Dwight's team is Gryffindor. Jim picks Voldemort. And they start chanting it to Dwight, and Dwight gets like...
Well, because he's like, Slytherin is the bad guys, Jim. That's yeah. when he's like, oh, fine, then we'll be Voldemort. Voldemort. Yeah. Voldemort.
And like Dwight's like, don't say it!
Like, yeah, he's like tweaking out. But yeah. what... I love, okay, so you referenced Jeff Probst earlier, yeah. and I loved how Michael is like, 14 strangers who work together, and who will survive? And Oscar's like, what?
Yeah, he
goes,
no
not a contender.
Yeah, he just shits all over Oscar. So, he goes to Stanley, Stanley, what team are you? What's your team name? And Stanley, of course, like, standoffish, I don't care. And Michael goes, well, you're wearing a red shirt, you're the red team.
Yep.
And Stanley, just to be a dick, goes, no, we're the blue team. Total dick to him. So then Michael's talking head. He says, Stanley, I'm considering because of all the good that black people have done. A very cringe moment. And then he says, Andy, classy. He gets me. He went to Cornell. I trust him, but I don't really trust him.
Yeah.
So those are the 4 guys that Michael has in mind to replace him as the regional manager of Scranton.
Yep.
So they start off with a spoon and egg race. Where they blindfolds are applied to a person on each team, and they have to go down around a pole and come back.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis immediately loses.
Oh my God.
It falls out, and Stanley goes, thank you. He sits in a lawn chair and does his crossword. Then Kelly removes her blindfold because she thinks she's going to trip over a rock.
I know I'm super close to the big rock. You're nowhere near the big rock. I know I'm near it. She's like 50 feet from it.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Then Jim just fucks with Karen, like yeah. leads her into the lake.
Yeah, he's like, there's a big hole you need to yeah. step over.
He's just screwing with her, like making a joke out of it.
And but I think it's almost like he was flirting with Karen.
Well, he was. That's like, that's girlfriend. The thing, because he's like, oh, we're just playing games. We're going to have fun with it.
Yeah.
So, and then the temp, like, rips off the blindfold and throws the egg, because Dwight is like...
He's like, mush,
come on, let's go, he's Jesus like, Christ, temp, come on. He's like yelling at him.
He's like, listen, if you're going to continue to yell at me, I'm not going to do this. And Dwight's like, all right, fine. Okay, come on, just keep on going forward. Mush!
Yeah,
mush!
Then he's just losing, and Ryan's just like, fuck it!
Yep.
That's it. So then they go, and we see Creed is in the water.
Oh my God.
Up to his, like, knees, and he just darts his hand and pulls out a fish.
It reminded me of Jungle to Jungle, that little
With Tim
kid.
Allen?
Yeah. Like his son, how the kid can just yes. be like, cha-cha!
Like, is that what he said?
I think so. I was just watching a thing about Disney Plus and how that's going to be on there, and I got really excited.
That was the one they put their foot forward on? How many JTT fans we got?
Like random...
Wait, was that JTT?
No.
Oh.
It wasn't. No, more like random movies that you may have forgotten about that are going to be on there. But anyway.
Like The Parent Trap.
Yeah. The original. The original is on there.
The only one that matters.
So excited.
So Mike goes over to Pam. He has 800 hot dogs for the next challenge. And he asks her to cook them within the next 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
I don't know what she did, but they're prepared and on a table.
Yeah, good for her.
So Michael says, I want my successor to be hungry for success. So we're having a hot dog eating contest. And everyone, like, it becomes a pain.
Oh, Kelly wants can I have a turkey burger?
Yeah, and Michael has the only turkey
burger.
He's
like, no, I called the only one.
So then they start talking about lean meat.
Yeah.
And people are complaining about, like, eating hot dogs.
Angela's like, I'm a vegetarian. I don't even eat meat.
And then, like, I think it's Phyllis wants mustard or condiments. And that's when, like, Michael freaks out because everybody's being, like, bitchy.
Oh, they're being completely ridiculous.
Yeah. And he just explains what they're doing. Like, this is whoever is, like, ahead on points at the end of all these games gets my job.
Yeah.
Because I am interviewing with corporate for a corporate position, and I want somebody
I'm going to recommend somebody for my job.
Yeah, and, like, that's when everyone immediately chows down, and they do...
Stanley's like, do you seriously, like, expect us to think that you're going to really choose somebody based off of this? And he's like, yeah, Stanley, I am. And Stanley starts... He has, like, three hot dogs.
He's like Kobayashi, just double-fisting hot dogs. So they do a talking head with Stanley. He goes, I would rather work for an upturned broom with a bucket for its head than anybody else in this office. Game on.
Yeah,
he's, like, into it.
He's all about it. I love it.
So Andy wins the hot dog eating contest, vomits in his mouth, and then Creed is walking up a hill. He goes, he has the fish skeleton now.
Yes.
He ate the fish's flesh.
And skin.
Yes. He just said, no one told me we'd have hot dogs.
Yep.
So, and then we go to Dwight and Angela off to the side where they discuss her, because she's on Andy's team, sabotaging Andy.
Yep.
So, and Dwight ends it with, if Michael arranges a group hug at the end of the night, I want you standing next to me.
Stand next to me.
So next is a sumo wrestling challenge.
Yes.
And it's one of those deals where they have the big fluffy suits.
Yep.
And, like, the helmets and that. And it's Jim versus Stanley. And Stanley, Michael says, go. Stanley, fucking charges Jim. His fucking eyes
terrified.
Are huge. Yeah, and he just, like, fucking wallops Jim.
Yeah.
And then he picks, like, he offers Jim his hand. He goes, it's all about keeping points away from Dwight.
Right. It almost reminded me of Stanley when he yelled at Ryan, did you lost your mind, boy? Because I'll help you find it.
It's one of those. Like, Stanley blew up. So then it's Andy versus Dwight, and Oscar does a talking head where he goes, if either of these guys are the regional manager, I'm going to transfer to Albany. And Gil doesn't have to come with me. I've been looking for a way to get out of that relationship anyway.
I think I'm going to try girls for a while. Yes. Angela thinks I can cross over.
Yeah, Angela has faith in him.
Oh my God.
So Andy does a talking head now because Dwight beats him. Mm-hmm. And Andy's like, oh, I could have done better. And then Dwight just, like, attacks him.
Yeah,
from the
he
side.
Walks up and he's like, oh, yeah? Yeah, yeah, he's talking smack?
He just knocks him down again and, like, pummels him. So Andy, okay, what is Andy doing here?
Andy, I think he's trying, to get
litter?
His handkerchief. No, he has, like, a handkerchief in his hand. I think he was trying to get it wet because he was hot in the sumo suit.
So he dips over, or goes to the water's edge, leans over to, like, wet his hanky, and just falls into the water.
In.
And because of these sumo suits, he starts floating away. And Angela's there. He's like, Angela, get help! And, of course, she's like, I can't hear you, Andy. What do you want? Yeah. And he's just, like, floating away into the lake.
I don't know what you want from me.
The current of the lake is very strong.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he just, like, took off towards the middle of it. So then Michael does a talking head where he's like, Jim is not taking this seriously. Stanley is having a stroke.
Yeah.
And I don't even know where the hell Andy is. And in the background in the lake,
you
just
see the camera zoom in on him.
You just see Andy, like, flailing in the middle of the lake. So after that, Mike asks Pam the score. And she gives the line of the night where she says, well, Jim has 10 points, Dwight has a gold star, and you gave Stanley a thumbs up. Like, there's no...
I don't know how those equate to each other.
Yeah, there's no system.
I think it's a tie.
And then Michael is like, well, look in that notebook. Maybe there's, like, a conversion chart.
Yeah, maybe there's a key in the back. She goes, I really doubt it. Would you just look?
So then we see Jim and Karen on the water's edge together, And they're calling David Wallace up, and each of them sets up an interview for the corporate position that Michael is interviewing for.
Yeah. Now, I have a question, though. Do you think that they were calling him, or do you think that David Wallace calls Jim, and then Karen is there, and she asks for an interview as well? Or did David call and say, I want to talk to you and Karen?
I feel because, like, I'm not sure, because they don't even make it clear at all.
No, but if you think about it, they did offer Jim the number two position, like... Jan obviously ran that up.
Yeah, he's
David
high.
Wallace
yeah.
flagpole.
They're high on
get
Jim.
A raise.
Yeah, they're high on Jim.
So, I mean, I could see them offering it to Jim, but not. I mean, and girls, I'm all about that girl power, but I don't see Karen's not a standout employee, so I can't see them offering a corporate position to her.
Well, she wants to try it.
Yeah, I mean, if she. I'm just saying, she just doesn't seem like a standout employee, but that's why I'm questioning, like, did she ask to be considered, or...
I don't know.
Did he call and say, oh, and if Karen's there, too, because I know you're at beach day, like...
Well, either way, they both have
interviews. Yes.
And then we go to Michael. There's a pickup truck unloading piles of wood, and Michael says a good manager needs courage. And Stanley looks at him, he's like, oh, yeah? And then he just stops. He goes, I can't do this. I'll be on the bus. So Stanley just gives up. So it turns out they're going to be walking through fire. And that's when they, like, obviously CGI fire.
Oh, just, my God.
It's really bad.
Like, dude, the pylon, like, blows up.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't just, like, douse it in gasoline and light it. It would have been a
nice
effect.
It's probably not as safe.
Yeah, it's probably not safe. But they just, like, the wood, whoosh, fire. Yeah. So we come back, there's a commercial break, we come back and it's nightfall, it's dark, and Michael invites people to walk across the coals of this burning. Pam wants to do it.
She does.
She's like, oh, Michael.
She's all about it.
And Michael shuts it down because he only wants these guys, to, like his boys. Here. So Jim refuses, pretty much. She's all right.
Which I don't blame him.
Andy is missing still. And then we cut, and he's in like these weeds on the side of the lake.
Yeah, and the camera has a flashlight on him.
Is that the camera or is it a car?
I mean, how else would they be recording him?
Well, it's dark, but then lights come on him.
Yeah.
So, like, we hear his voice, then these lights go on him. He goes, I'm Andrew Bernard. I'm with Dunder Mifflin. Like, he's doing this thing. And then the light disappears again, and he's left in the dark. He's just, like, in that bodysuit on his back. So, like I said before, there's trash all around him.
Yeah.
Definitely very Scrantonian. Kevin tells Michael to go. Like, why don't you do it? And he says he already did burn his foot on his Foreman grill. Nice little callback.
Oh, God.
So Jim pretty much pipes up and says, well, if you expect us to do it, you should do it, too.
Yeah.
And Michael is just standing there. There's several countdowns. He keeps, like, trying to worm out of it.
Oh, yeah. I love the mind must wrap around the foot.
Yeah, and he's just standing there. It's seriously, like, it felt like 3 minutes of dead fucking, like, video. But so then, like, Dwight just interferes. He goes, Michael, I'll do it. I'll stand on these coals as long as it takes for you to give me the job.
Yeah, until you give me the job.
Yeah, so he walks out on the coals, and everybody's like, oh, and then he just stops and he's standing on it. He goes, give me the job!
Give me the job!
And that's when he just gives out. He falls down. He's rolling in it. His hands are burning. He's trying to crawl out. Everybody's like, oh, my God! It's this whole fucking scene of Dwight rolling in these coals. And, like, you just see people, like, dragging him off them. And it's fucking insane.
I just love Michael afterwards.
Yeah, the talking head where he says, being a boss is about image. I never looked like that. That was gross. It's fucking hilarious. So, like, after that, Michael, like, leads everybody away.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, this was stupid. This was, like, the worst $75 I ever spent.
Yeah.
But then he pretty much tells everyone he's disappointed in them for not stepping up. And he wants one more round, winner take all, for people to show how funny they are. Because, like, he thinks he's this comedic genius.
Yeah.
So Jim stands up and just tells Mike that he's interviewing for the job as well.
Yep.
And Michael's like, nah, it's not funny. So Dwight gets up and butchers the famous aristocrats joke.
Yeah.
And while he's doing this, Pam is like over at the Coles by herself.
Oh, wait, can I just...
No, go ahead, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No.
We, before Michael announces the funny contest or whatever, he says, you know what I see here? Mr. Outside Hire is going to be your new boss. And Angela goes... Or Mrs. Outside Hire. And Michael goes, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. He completely blows her up, like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm.
After
okay.
He just did women's appreciation.
Exactly. Sorry, go
No, you're fine. But as Dwight's butchering the aristocrats joke, Pam jumps, like, goes across the coals.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got, like, this shot of adrenaline. She's all jacked up. And she, like, runs over to everybody, and she's like, I just ran across the Coles. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. You got something.
Kelly, who doesn't know who Bob Hope is.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I omitted that, but it's fucking hilarious, because, like, Mike wants a Bob Hope factor. Like, yep. The famous comedian. He was around for 100 years.
Yep.
He did, like, movies, radio, fucking TV. Everything. He did everything. And fucking Kelly has no idea.
She's like, who? Who's Bob Hope?
Yeah, and he's like a comedian. She's like, oh, like Amanda Bynes. And Michael's like, oh, yeah. Like he equates Amanda Bynes to Bob Hope.
Well, he's like, who's that? She goes, oh, she's the man. And he goes, oh, I love
no,
that
What
movie.
A Girl Wants, right?
Oh, What a Girl Wants, yeah,
She's
yeah.
the man. What's that?
It's another Amanda Bynes
is
movie.
That Bend It? No, Bend It Like Beckham is a different one. Never mind.
She's the Man is a soccer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's like Bend
she
It Like
pretends
Beckham.
To be a boy at a charter school. She like... chops off her hair so she
before
can play
she did
soccer.
In real life, right?
Yeah.
Is she one of the ones who chopped off her hair?
No, that was Britney Spears. Amanda Bynes is the one who like got high on a bunch of drugs and tweets out things.
Is she still like?
No, she's sober now. I think she's back to acting now.
Is she?
I
can't remember. Well, she was in Hairspray.
She was in Hairspray.
Is that like the last thing she did? That was a long, long time ago.
But anyway,
R.I.P. Amanda Bynes.
I think she's trying to get back into acting.
Just fucking around. So anyway, Pam's got this shot of adrenaline. And she runs over, and she says, I'm feeling really good right now.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't say it like that, like Macho Man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm feeling it.
She doesn't sound like she's on cocaine.
I'm feeling a thing or two right now. Yeah, let me tell you something, if I may. But anyway, so she goes, she kind of like shits on everyone. She goes, everybody, why didn't you come to my art show? That really sucked that you guys did.
I invited you all.
Yeah. And she kind of, she puts everyone on blast. Yeah. And then she turns to Jim. Jim Halpert. And she pretty much says, I called off my wedding for you.
She literally says that.
Yeah. And I miss you and I miss our friendship. I shouldn't have been with Roy for a lot of reasons, but I didn't know those reasons until I met you. I miss having fun with you. And then like she also says, like, I know that you're with someone else right now. I'm not saying that. It, like she kind of like starts getting lost in what she wants to say. And Karen's just looking at her.
Yeah.
She's just
like watching her like, what is this girl doing?
She doesn't know where this is going, why it's happening or anything like that. But Jim's not even sitting next to Karen.
No.
Again, Jim's with Angela.
Yeah.
I don't get it. But so Pam goes over this whole thing. She says, I miss having fun with you. I miss you. And then she goes, I'm going to go in the water now because my feet hurt.
Yeah.
So from walking over. So she goes in the water and Michael like kind of claps a little and goes, that was amazing.
That was amazing, Pam.
But I'm still looking for someone with a sales background. So then we cut and it's from earlier in the day when they were driving there. Mm-hmm. And it's everyone singing the Flintstones song, ending with Michael going, Wilma! Like Fred Flintstone. This was a very awesome episode.
Yeah, it was.
What did you give it?
I gave it a 4.6.
Gave it 5. Full Monty.
Woo!
Suck it, Oz. Full Monty, brother. I'm going with it. I guess this is the new standard bearer.
Ooh.
But anyway.
I like it.
Anyway. So much. What do you got?
I gave it 4.6 because as much as they called back to local things last week... Dude, this one.
So you take it away for Lake Scranton?
For Lake Scranton.
It served a purpose, though.
It did, but it was like, come on. Like, they came here and they filmed the intro of the fucking show. They drove around Scranton so that they could get that goddamn, like, picnic sign on Mulberry Street. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they did so much research on the area. They found out that there was a Boston Market in East Stroudsburg. Like, they put so much thought into all of those things. Anna Maria's in Dunmore, like a random restaurant in Dunmore. And then for Lake Scranton to have a fucking beach and for anybody to think that we have weather that's even close or remotely close to somebody wanting to go to a beach in PA. Come on.
Yeah.
Other than that, perfection.
You offended a local office writers.
Yeah.
But... So, what do you think about the whole Pam thing at the end? What do you make of that?
Finally, the girl got a backbone.
Because it's kind of been building.
Because she had courage. Okay, first of all,
Michael's daughter,
boy, Oscar and Gil talked about how she didn't have courage at the art show.
Mm-hmm.
Because real art takes courage. She overheard them. Strike one. Michael finally wished for her to have courage. Strike two. She finally got it. She walked across. She probably had contact high from all of Dwight's skin on the rocks. But you know what I mean? Like, she finally got a backbone, and she said what she's been wanting to say. Wallflower No more.
Another thing that bothers me about it, though, I understand when adrenaline kicks in, you do things. Like, I think we've all had those moments in our life. Yeah. But the thing I don't understand is why she did it in front of everyone, including Karen. Something that she could talk to Jim in the, like...
But I think that that's where, like, as she was going, and she's like, what I'm trying to say to you, and everybody in the circle, apparently, like, I think that's when she started to realize, like, oh my god, I am doing this in front of everybody, and I'm not just, like, talking to Jim.
Yeah.
I think it was just, like, she just wanted to get it out so much, and as the adrenaline stopped rushing, she realized, oh my god, what did I just do?
Huh.
You know what I mean?
I guess. I mean, the thing is, like, it's been building the whole... Like, there was the one episode we had where you weren't here, where we talked about how she doesn't want to be called Pammy anymore.
Yeah.
And she's, like, you know, getting the gumption. So it has been... It's paid off.
Yeah.
The whole, like, the arc of Pam for going from calling off her wedding to seeing Roy again to, like, all this shit going on. To going on a date with the cartoonist and everything.
Yep.
And deciding, like, breaking up with Roy and deciding that she's going to be doing what she wants to do and all this shit. So, like...
This character is finally...
It's paying off.
Yeah.
And in a good way. More so than others. Because I feel like other characters have not grown as much. I feel like Angela has. I like this character a lot. I feel like Dwight's just always the same. I feel like there's no growth at all. I mean, you get little glimpses, like when he put his coat around his waist and, like, patted Pam and asked her if it was her period.
PMS is pretty bad.
Like, there was, like, a glimmer, but it wasn't, like, an arc or anything like that.
Yeah.
Michael, I don't know if he's growing, but we're seeing more about him.
Yeah.
Than the surface, stuff. And, like, Jim, I feel like, I don't know about Jim, man. I don't know.
I mean, Oscar might go straight.
We're burying the lead here. Holy shit. Oscar, the conversion therapy. You know? But, like, I don't know. Like, Jim is one where I think a lot of people who listen to the show are going to think, like, I have a hard-on for Jim.
You do have a vendetta.
No, I don't. That's the thing. It's just I just don't like the character, because the character is somebody I wouldn't like in real life. The character's not someone I would get along with. And I don't think there's many people who would get along with a guy who's just constantly belittling you no matter what. Because, like, no matter who's in the office, he's mocking them.
But, yeah, but that's the one thing him and Pam... There's a playful way to do it, with, like, how he does it with Pam. And then there's...
condescension, which he uses for everyone else.
Yeah.
He's very condescending.
Hey, you know what, though? Let's just put it this way. Sans pranks, that was me in the office. Everybody thought I was hilarious, but really I was just...
being a bitch.
I was telling them what it was to their face, and everybody's like, oh, Mary, you're so funny, and you just tell them like it is, don't you? So sarcastic.
You got that from our dad.
Yeah.
Where you can just tell somebody.
You can insult somebody to their face, and they're like, oh my god, you're so funny.
he's such a politician.
Yep.
But, the Jim.
So you like me, right?
I love you, Mary.
So then you'd like Jim.
Nah. Like, I just watching that, like, and, of course, we get no follow-up because it's all coming next week. And I talked last week about how, like, the Karen thing is going to obviously have a blow-off. Now, I'm not expecting a cat fight or, like, the Jim Roy type of thing, obviously. I don't think it's going to get physical. But I am curious to see where it goes. They have my attention. The wrong woman is going to win, obviously. I'm just going to say that much. Why are you giving me that look? You're giving me this look right now.
Like the grin that the Grinch gets when he's doing something evil.
When his mouth curls up. Like, that's what it looks like. But
I'm just trying not to give anything away, man.
The Pam thing is obviously the big thing from this episode. It had a lot of laughs. Mm-hmm. There's tons of laughs.
Yeah.
I think whether it was sight gags or lines of dialogue.
Andy getting stuck in the water.
I like that Michael wasn't the super focal point of this episode.
Yeah, everybody had their own part.
He was just kind of running the games.
Yeah.
And and it's funny because he thinks he's going to get this job.
Yep.
He's counting the chickens before they hatch.
Absolutely.
Which I am curious. That's another thing I'm curious about next episode is how are these interviews with Karen, Jim, Michael, and anyone else going
now,
to go?
When you originally watched this, you know,
I don't remember. I remember the beach stuff. I don't remember anything else.
Okay, so like this is like probably this. Oh, I should say you stopped watching.
I should say that last episode. Like I've seen the "This Man Is a Pervert" memes and shit all over. I have no recollection of that episode at all. I don't remember anything about that.
See, now I know my best friend threw a surprise party for her fiance at the time, and she got koozies that had that because it was an office theme.
If it's who I'm thinking about, they weren't far off.
Yeah. they made koozies with "this man is a pervert," like the whole poster on them.
I hope she still owns those.
I do.
Oh, God. That's
I
so
still have like two
that's
in my house.
So amazing. Good God. I love it. I love it.
But, yeah, so that's what I think of every time I see that.
See, I don't remember this. Like I said, I only remember...
You vaguely remember beach games. You remember they go to a beach.
So why did you ask me if I remembered?
For what's coming next week.
No idea. No
idea. The season finale, episode 23.
Why'd you sing that?
Because I'm really excited for number 23.
Why are you excited? Just tell me. You don't have to give spoilers.
I'm not going to, dude.
I know. I'm just saying, you tell me why you're excited.
I'm trying to.
Oh. It sounded like you were just going to tell us the name of the episode.
No. Okay. So the season finale of season 3 is The Job. Okay? I'm really excited because... The Job.
Some of these titles are so lazy.
I know. But I think that this will give you some clarity. Like, it does tie up some things, but I think it's still going to leave something to be desired for season 4.
Well, I mean, that's natural to leave a cliffhanger for another season.
This one's a good one, though. And I think... Oh,
I'm not saying it's bad.
No, you're going to be angry.
Oh, I am?
Yeah, you're going to be angry. Get ready,
guys.
Is
it well
written? Next week's going to be long. Yeah.
That's all I ask for. Like, I don't get angry over these.
Hey, guys, just make sure that when next week's podcast comes out that you guys have the volume dialed down low.
Why?
Because Kevin's going to be loud.
Why will I be angry about an episode of television that appeared on television 12 years ago? Why would I be mad?
I can't spoil anything, but come back next week
and
listen to us discuss episode 23, season finale, The Job.
All right. Well,
thanks, guys.
I guess that's it for this episode. So
it is.
As we say, cover. Follow us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast.
Let us know. Just tell Kevin. Say, hey, Kevin, you're going to be angry or Mary's blowing smoke up your ass. Because I might very well be.
You should see her. She's got a beanie on. She's got her hipster glasses. She looks like she's a barista. Like, Jesus Christ. And she's just laughing at me. Like I'm going to get some kind of comeuppance next episode or something. But anyway, follow us on Twitter at BroSisPodcast. Reach out to us at BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. We'll be happy to get in touch with you, answer any questions, concerns, suggestions, whatever you may have. And until then, I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Yep, make sure you share it with your family, your friends, your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers. Spread the word, guys, because I think we're funny.
Good way to go. Yeah, guys, we're funny. Listen to us, everybody. All right.
Well, thanks so much, everybody. Have a good week. Well, it's a big, big city and the lights are all out. But it's as much as I can do, you know, to figure you out. And I must confess, my heart's so broken pieces and my head's a mess. And it's 4 in the morning and I'm walking along beside the ghost of every drink I hear who's ever done wrong. And it's you, whoa, that's got me going crazy for the things you do. And so if you're crazy, we'll be right back.